So first night of the tour, and you should be really excited, except now I understand that you did a, quote, surprise show in Los Angeles last night. So this is kind of the 1.5 day of the tour.
It is, but it's our first day on the bus, our first day ever on a bus. And so it's...
You mean like when you... So wait, when you went to like to school, you didn't take a bus, you walked to school? You know that old joke, right?
Yeah, I was on the school bus in the fourth grade until I had a fight with one of my classmates, and then I was not allowed to ride the school bus anymore. But until that point, excluding, of course, my time on L.A. buses without a car a couple of years ago,
Which means that you got nowhere.
Nowhere.
You rode buses in L.A.?
I did, indeed, because no one walks...
Are we going to go do the missing persons thing and yeah. Start going through that whole thing? So you excited about, I mean, this is not your first tour by any stretch of anyone's imagination, but it's the first tour behind a brand new album that's really young, right?
Yeah, this is, we've toured a lot. We toured a bunch for The Execution of All Things, and we're excited to start playing these songs out.
Very cool. Okay, I'm going to ask this really early. I usually save the silly stuff for later, but I'm going to go right here. Do you ever read AllMusic? This is like, on our show, this is like the devil incarnate. Not because they wouldn't sponsor us, just because I think it's fun. Do you ever read AllMusic.com?
No.
Okay. AllMusic.com, when nobody knows, you know, when you're trying to find something out about a band, you go to AllMusic.com. But what the favorite thing about AllMusic.com is, you know, you get your little bio of who you are. But then, and they've cut this back a little bit, your moods are on here. Mm. Your band's moods.
So, individually or as a band?
No, just moods. They don't go that deep.
All right.
So I'm going to read you your moods, and I would like your reaction. So this is what Rilo Kiley's moods are. You're earnest, you're reflective, you're wistful, and you're intimate. Which one would you like to be, and which one do you say, what?
I guess wistful.
You're wistful. I think she looks pretty wistful. What do you think? Yeah.
Maybe I need to update my definition of wistful. Please, will you define it for me? I have a
wistful.
Sense of what it is.
Full of wist.
Full of wist. All right. Fair
Which
enough.
Means that you do your laundry properly, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we love AllMusic.com because every band has their own moods. You can have this if you want to know your moods. You know, so this way, you know, when you're on the bus and it's not working out, and you know, you're in the middle of the desert somewhere, you can say, I'm wistful.
Open up to someone and then feel intimate.
Yes, yes. So now enough of that. How do you describe your music? When somebody calls you up and says, "Heard about your band. What do you guys do?"
You know, I try to avoid that question.
Oh, I know you do, but I try to avoid it too. But for people who are listening to a show where they might be hearing, you know, my job is to introduce people to things they've never heard before. And so somehow, some way, you can also tell me all the things you're not.
Well, we sometimes joke about our music as being soft rock when people ask
cool.
What kind of music.
So I should be announcing it. So this is another one from Rilo Kiley. It's called It's a Hit. Shh. Soft rock.
It's not accurate at all, but it's an easy way to get out of the question.
Okay. The new album. So now you're off Barsic, and you put this one out yourself.
Yeah, our last record was actually on Saddle Creek.
Was on Saddle Creek, yes.
First one on Barsuk.
Right.
And this one, we created an imprint, a label that's part of Warner Brothers. And
oh, okay. So that's why I got it so easily. So somebody is behind. Okay, see, that's
yeah,
good.
Warner is distributing it. And right now we're doing everything on our own, but at a certain point, if we want them, they'll be there for us, and which is really exciting for us because, you know, they have bands like Wilco and The Flaming Lips and Built to Spill. So it seemed like of all the major labels in making this transition for us, because we've always been, you know, incredibly independent, it seemed like the most safe corporate place to go.
Well, and it's an interesting thing. We work a lot with United Musicians, you know, Amy Mann and Michael Penn and the Honey Dogs and all those. And again, they distribute their own, but they do have another major behind them, which is kind of smart.
Yeah, and I think for us, you know, being on Saddle Creek, that was a really great experience for us, being able to learn how to, you know, put records out and tour, you know, with that Midwestern work ethic. And it's a great opportunity for us to, you know, have access to other ideas, you know, with regard to playing music and getting your music out there.
Okay, so now so many people do interviews and you probably say afterwards, did they really listen to the record? So now we'll do the little test. So let's go through a few of the songs.
Ooh.
And let's start with the single, It's a Hit. First of all, lots of editing required for radio. I mean, I got the single before I got the album, and then I was listening to the album today, and I'm like, I see why they put out the single.
But
naughty words.
Naughty words, but not naughty in Canada. They're playing it in Toronto. They don't care in Canada. Here, we're, you know, we're a little uptight.
A little uptight?
Pretty uptight.
Yeah. FCC, welcome to my show. And the part that I like is there's lots of cynicism in that song, but then there's Phil Spector lyrics towards the end. So tell me a little bit about the song, because it starts out with a bang. You don't have to be and it just goes.
I think the song kind of has a bunch of ideas in there, and it kind of is wrapped up with this, you know, phrase, you know, oh, it's hit. If it's not, then well. It must be a holiday for a hanging. It's kind of a, you know, a dark take on all of the ideas. I don't know, but you would probably interpret it better than I would. I'm not very good at...
You just write them. You don't want to interpret them.
Yeah, that's...
But it's coming from inside somewhere, that's for sure. And that I have to say that, and this is not one of my questions, but the lyrics overall don't feel like lyrics. It's not like somebody's writing a song, and it's not even something like someone's writing poetry. You're just kind of putting out interesting messages and interesting thoughts and interesting life things and then putting it to music.
Oh, thanks.
Or maybe not.
No. I think I was thinking about it the other day, and just this album as a whole feels to me different than our other records.
Oh, no, it is.
Like the... Execution of All Things feels a little more continuous from start to finish. There are little musical transitions, and there are certain themes that keep popping up in the songs. But this one feels a little more separate, like a collection of little stories, you know, included in one thing. And some of the characters, I think, are flawed in the same ways.
Oh, yeah.
But the same characters don't necessarily pop up.
So, of course, then the deep, dark question. Let's move on to Does He Love You? It's a letter to a married man. True story?
There are elements of truth in that song. My life isn't quite as dramatic as I, you know, think that it is when I write about these things. But there's some little moments in there.
I think that there's way too many people that could relate.
Sure.
Way too many.
I mean, what's the divorce rate in this country?
Well over 50%.
There you have it.
I'm on my second, so I know. Oops, did I say that on the air? Like my listeners don't know my, Katie's like, do my listeners know my entire life? My listeners have followed my daughter on the air from the moment she was born. In fact, she does IDs for me now and comes on the air, so she's 3. Okay, the Fox's song. Is that like the continuation of the story?
I think it could be.
And by the way, what I'll do is play all of these afterwards, you know, somewhere in the interview, so people might actually know what the heck we're talking about.
Yeah, I think that song, again, you know, some of the same ideas and some of the people are flawed in the same ways. They don't necessarily relate to each other directly.
These are not happy-go-lightly people.
I think that, again, they're flawed, but maybe... they accept that, and, you know, with something like, you know, we chose More Adventurous as the album title because it sort of reflects all of these things, but then allows you to kind of move on and be a little more adventurous even in the face of heartbreak or infidelity or...
Life goes on.
Sure.
Okay, so one more, because we just have to go there. Accidental Death. Nice spelling on death, by the way.
Thanks. The guys in the band, they weren't fond of that. But I spelled accidental.
Death rhymes with.
I spelled accidental that way because my friend Jimmy Tamborello, who I play in the Postal Service with,
right.
He produced that song, and he's in a band called Dentel, D-N-T-E-L. And so I wanted...
You guys just can't spell S-P-E-L.
I wanted to... just give a little shout out to his band and that.
Okay, that last line. There's no accidental death when you're the Indian in the cougar's nest. Huh?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. Okay, we're gonna do a little. What do you call those? What are those grams called? We could do a schematic. Okay, let's start. Do cougars have nests?
Do they?
I don't know. This is this is gonna get funny here. You just did it to have some fun, didn't you?
Well, I think it's, you know,
I mean, it's not your, it's not, you know, it's not la 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 lyrics. I mean, you listen to this record, you can listen to it a lot, and you really kind of get a lot there. I mean, you sing, you know, your voice is sweet as all get out, but you're putting out some wild stuff there.
Well, I think in that song, it's like if you seek out something, you're going to get it, you know, and you can't expect, you know, different results. If you're, you know, if you're spying on the cougars and, you know, going into their nests, as it were, you might get bitten.
I'll be careful. All right, now let's work backwards. See, you know, I really should, yeah. She's like, ooh, I made it through the song stuff. You're a tough interview, Dennis. Will you please ask me, like, how did I choose what jeans to wear today? It'd be a lot easier. Okay, we'll make it, that will go easy. History of the band. Because people don't necessarily, in fact, I know they don't know.
We've been together for almost 8 years.
Wow.
Blake and I started just writing songs together the first day that we met.
In Los Angeles,
and we played in living rooms, and we played in coffee shops, and then we started playing with Pierre, our bass player, then we got a drummer, and just immediately started playing out in Silver Lake, and we did a residency at this club called Spaceland,
mm-hmm.
and from there, we just, you know.
Spaceland, the Largo without attitude.
It's true, on the east side as well.
Yes, exactly.
Preferable for us. And we just, you know, we've been trudging along for a long time, and we're excited. This is our third record. We've been able to make 3 full lengths and tour the country.
And you get to stop trudging.
Well, I feel we're still trudging, you know. It's a long process, I think, in learning how to record and learning how to write songs and learning how to tour.
You're so humble about all this. I like it.
I think it's the truth, you know. I'm so happy that we put out our records the way that we did because it gave us the opportunity to get to know each other as mm-hmm. musicians and friends as well and learn how to get along and fight and make up and
stay happy, will you please? It's like, no, I mean, because, you know, you do this and you interview a lot of people and you only get the, you get one of, you know, you get the tortured souls, you get the I'm more important than whatever, and then you do get an occasional I'm thankful. And those are really the joyful ones, and those show in the music.
Yeah, I think we love playing these songs and we love playing music together. And so hopefully, you know, that keeps us going through the hard times. But right now it's a little bit easier than it was. You know, we were sleeping on floors and sleeping in the van and snowstorms. And now we get to show up and we have a bus and we're playing in, you know, places like this. And so times are good, it feels.
Okay, your voice. Where'd you learn how to sing? Was there any, because people always ask, you know, did you take singing lessons or did you just start singing?
My mom and my father, they had a lounge act in Las Vegas in the 70s.
Wow, what was their act called? Now we gotta know.
Love's Way, as in the way of love.
That was Love's Way.
Yeah, they were pretty interesting. My mom played bass and sang, and my dad played harmonica, and there was a very early drum machine.
Wait till you hear the idea I'm gonna have you do. Boy, you're just gonna be like, did he know this?
So my parents played music, my sister played music, my grandparents played music. It was just something that was in our home, and my mom was a huge Barbara Streisand fan, and so I grew up.
Can we have my mom meet your mom? When I was like, I don't even know, 6 years old, Color Me Barbara came out, and I was like, oh God, do I have to hear this again?
I love Color Me Barbara.
No, she has, I've gotten her every, she still lives down in Florida, she has all of them remastered on CD now, I'm the good son. I've played Stony End on the air, so.
Wow. Yeah, Barbara now, you know, it's tough to get into her records, but I appreciate the fact that my mom was trying to emulate Barbara Streisand, and I was trying to sound like my mom, so we would harmonize together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just always just sang all the time in the house.
I also used it to get dates. There was a woman that I dated before meeting my wife who loved the Broadway albums. And, you know, you buy those and suddenly you're like, you actually bought me Barbara Streisand.
You're a sensitive guy.
I'm a sensitive guy. You didn't get me AC/DC. Thank you.
Did you take her to see Cats?
I have seen Cats, though. I admit I've seen Cats. We'll just leave that one. Next question, Dennis. What about the rest of the band? Any formal training there?
No. Well, actually, Jason, our drummer, he's probably the best musician out of all of us. He was in, I think, high school band.
Oh, there you go.
Played the drums and is so dedicated to playing the drums.
No wonder all the drum solos kind of sound like, you know, the Saints come marching in.
he's a big fan of that marching band genre, I guess.
I've never heard the word genre used with marching band before. Allmusic.com. Wait, we have to add this now. Let's see. Moods. Earnest, reflective, wistful, intimate marching band.
Is marching band a genre? I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be.
Be, I guess.
I think we could. I think there's probably, well, I think it could be a genre within a genre, because think about the songs that marching bands destroy.
Oh.
You know, I mean,
or
you know,
make even better, like Beat It by Michael Jackson.
I was just, okay, here we go. Twin sons of different mothers. I was going to say Thriller. The way they do Thriller is just, you know, bump. It's like, yeah, okay, enough of that. What are you listening to? I mean, you just got on the bus, but like, what's going in your ears that's going to either end up on future, you know, future lyric sheets or, and you can tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly there. Like, what do you think's like out there that's really cool, and that's going to lead to another fun thing?
I really like Joanna Newsom. Mm-hmm. She's great. I like that whole folk thing that's going on, Devendra Banhart.
Of course.
And
yep.
But I also love, you know, the Shins, and I love the Elliott Smith album is so beautiful.
Have you heard the whole new one?
I have, yeah.
Oh, you're a lucky person. I just played Ugly the last weekend. Wow, it's really kind of, it's creepy. It's almost like he knew what was going to happen.
That song is so beautiful, and that I've been listening to consistently.
We're Pretty Ugly Inside?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But you listen to the lyrics of it, and you just it just makes you kind of shiver a little bit.
Yeah.
You're just like, wow, it's amazing that, you know. I mean, he put it all, I mean, like your lyrics, he put it all on there.
Yeah. So there's that stuff, and I brought my Dusty Springfield box set with me.
Very nice.
Which is very exciting. Okay. Bobby Gentry,
my
I've been listening to.
Favorite Dusty Springfield, there are two. There was a theme from a song called The Corrupt Ones.
Oh, that's on the box set.
Which is on the box set, and then there's I'll Try Anything, which is, you check, that's on your box set too, because I have it. It's great stuff. You know, in addition to the usual stuff.
What a great songstress, though. I mean, those songs are dark, and she's just singing her heart out.
Yeah, no, and the production on that stuff was just, you know, the horns weren't, you know, it was in that whole Tom Jones era, but the, you know, a little before, but the horns and everything aren't tacky.
But I think I read something about Dusty in Memphis, that was a huge failure when it came out, mm-hmm. and it was panned. The
people
critics
didn't
panned
know what to it. Deal with it. Yeah.
And that's a classic, beautiful record.
Well, so, you know, well, actually, it'll be kind of cool, because we're going to get to something musical that we get to do that's really fun. Who are you tired? Are you tired of being compared to anybody yet?
You know, it hasn't happened a lot. Early on, someone compared me to the girl from Letters to Cleo, which I thought was very...
That's a little obscure.
A little strange. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know who people compare me to.
Yeah, and we don't need to go there. I'm just glad that you're not, that it's not happening.
Or if it happens, I am certainly not aware of it.
Okay, here's one of those spacey questions. This is one of those, it's like in the textbook of how to do an interview. If you could be in another band, past or present, who would it be?
Whew, that's a good one. Let me just think about this for a
minute. I don't ask that one often. I just thought that would be kind of a fun...
Wow.
Past or present.
Well, gosh, maybe to be... in the band while touring with Bob Dylan.
There you go.
I would have played the tambo.
That would be cool.
Guitar tech, even.
Guitar tech. There you go. Who's Rilo Kiley?
A character in a dream that Blake had about an old guy called Rilo Kiley sitting at the end of a bar who predicted the day of my death.
We are going to have a little pause of silence here. We're getting deeper into the darkness. So I'm going to bring you out of the darkness with the last important question. And this is where it gets fun. And I bet I know who's going to come back into this question. And what we like to do after we do the interview is we like to make a sandwich with the band. And since I have the ability to do this, people get really creative. So Rilo Kiley is the bread, meaning we can pick any Rilo Kiley songs we want as the bread. And then you can fill it with anything you want. And I've sent bands all over the world the CD. We pretty much have a half hour because this interview has lasted about 20 minutes. So actually, we have even more than that. We have like 35, 40 minutes, and the rest of the hour is going to be the sandwich you're about to make.
But what goes on the inside? Other music?
Any music you want. It can be
products.
No music. No. Yeah, right. And that was bologna. That was It's a Hit followed by bologna. Before that was lettuce. And no, we're talking music, and we're talking any place you want to pull. And I can tell you right now that we have gone to the ends of the earth. We did Serge Gainsbourg a while back because we go everywhere it takes, and we know where to find everything. We have lots to choose from. So you can pick like a couple of songs as the bread, and then anything, and you can think about it because we can edit out the pauses, you know, but you can have anything in the middle you want, and you can have tons of it.
But Rilo Kiley has to be the bread.
No, others have made Rilo. We've actually had, I think it was Gomez or the Delays or somebody a few weeks ago decided that they didn't want to be the bread. They wanted to be the filling, and they picked a few of their songs for the filling, and then they made the bread other people. So you could do a club sandwich. You can do focaccia, you can do a pita, you can do anything you want. And then we'll send it to you because it's really kind of joyful to hear all the what you've conjured up as your set kind of come to life in an interesting way. So you can think about it. I'll just keep the microphone here, but I can edit out the pauses.
Okay.
Dusty Springfield doesn't come back into this. I'll be really surprised. Come on, you can do it.
And do I have to give songs? Or just
you can give songs or artists, but remember, if you give artists, you're trusting me.
Oh, which is interesting to leave that up to you.
So you can do that, and then I send it to you, and you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe he played Indian Giver by the 1910 Flute Gum Company. I wanted Simon Says. For those of you who cannot see, this is radio, and she's visualizing, and she's making kind of symbols and stuff. She's visualizing the sandwich. It's a very, very California kind of thing to do.
I think I'm going to have to go with, Bob Dylan as the baguette.
We've had a baguette before.
Have you?
Yes, but it was a male, and there was a female in the room from Virgin Records, which was even more appropriate, and the baguette thing caused a lot of discussion.
I enjoy a baguette, especially if it's fresh. And so I'm going to choose, one piece of the baguette will be Tangled Up in Blue, and the other one will be Idiot Wind. We're going to sort of use that, obviously, as the bread. And then I'm going to go straight to the center. And I am going to choose Laura Nero. And she did this record with Patti LaBelle and her two sisters. And it's a great covers record, kind of in the spirit of the Dusty in Memphis record. And I'm going to leave that up to you to choose a track from that record.
I own that record. I'm sure I can.
Gonna take a miracle. It's
yes,
my mom's favorite record.
I own it. Yes. In fact, I own it. They just did a remastered version of it.
It's a great record.
It's amazing.
And then I'm going to go with a classic. I'm going to go with Dusty Springfield, Son of a Preacher Man. I feel that that's a good sort of salami addition to the sandwich. Kind of spicy, kind of sad. Then I'm gonna go with a Townes Van Zandt song of your choice.
Okay.
As the mayonnaise.
All right.
Sweet Townes as the mayonnaise. And I'm gonna throw in These Days by Nico.
There you go. Oh man, I played that. You know, that came back on the I always want to say the Rushmore soundtrack, but what was that recent film? They came back on...
Royal Tannenbaums?
Yes, Royal Tannenbaums, yeah, on that soundtrack, which allowed me to play it again.
Because I wanted to play a Jackson Browne song from his first record, which I love, because he wrote These Days, of course, and played that beautiful guitar part on that recording. But I opted for Nico's version
Very
instead.
Very cool. And okay, and what about a couple of Rilo Kiley tracks to go in the, in there too, just so we can share, some more of your music with people.
I'm gonna go with one of Blake's songs, Ripcord. I think that's my favorite song that he's written.
Well, thank you. This has been wonderful and lovely.
That was a rough sandwich.
Oh.
And I make a killer sandwich.
Do you? Okay, so what kind of sandwich do you make? Now, what's the real sandwich?
I made an epic sandwich for the boys when we were in Belgium. There's this little supermarket in Brussels, a little olive paste, a little soft Belgian bread, a little cheese, a little fake meat patty. Pretty delicious. Sun-dried tomatoes.
I like the fake meat patty.
We're a big fan. Big fans.
Of fake meat patties.
We are.
So what's in them?
Quorn. Q-U-O-R-N.
There you go.